weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
How's your pet? Is it getting enough exercise? Are you getting enough exercise? A Cambridge company has the solution. And on Sunday, Pitpat went into the Dragon's Den. But how do they get on? Well, Andrew Knoll is here. Hello, Andrew. Thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon.
So first of all, let's start off by explaining precisely what the product does. I presume it goes around little doggy's collar, does it?
Yep. Essentially, it's like a canine Fitbit. It's a small device which attaches to the dog's collar and measures its motion. It then sends all of this data to a free app on your mobile phone. So you can see exactly what your dog has done, how much it's been walking, running, resting and playing. So, for example, if you left your dog at home while you're at work, you could see what it did. If it's been with a dog walker, in kennels, exactly what the dog's been doing.
I see. So normally you kind of think, oh, you know yourself, you're taking the dog for a walk. But I guess people do. There's a firm around Cambridge which has one of my favourite names for a firm called Bark and Stride. I don't know if you've come across them at all. There's others around who do dog walking. So you can make sure that the dog walker has done what dog walker has said. And how much info, what sort of detail do you get?
So you get a breakdown of the walking, running, resting and playing when it happened. So our algorithms can tell the difference between the different activities. It also shows you the calorific burn of your dog, which is very good for planning feeding and making sure you're feeding.
A lot of people do overfeed their dogs, don't they?
Yeah,
they think they're being nice, but not necessarily.
It's really hard because people equate food and love, and it's really hard not to feed your dog too much, especially when they're smiling at you.
The dog sees it that way as well, I think.
Yeah, so it also gives you a guideline for your dog. So not many people know that all the different breeds require different amounts of exercise. So the first thing you do in the app is enter your dog's age, weight, breed, add a cute photo. And then after that, it gives you a kind of veterinary guideline for your particular dog, tailored to it.
And can you see where the dog's actually been, or is it just distance travelled as opposed to where?
We're not doing a location or distance at the minute. We're just giving a breakdown of activities like a Fitbit does. We are working on a GPS product as well because people do want to know where their dog goes, especially when it's lost.
Yeah, I guess so. The occasional story of dog napping as well, don't you? So that would be helpful there too.
The unfortunate case with dog napping is the first thing they usually do is remove the collar.
Of course.
Having a GPS device may not help. It's more dogs running off into the ruts when they're on a walk.
Yes, I guess that's quite possible as well, isn't it? So tell me about the Dragon's Den. Why did you go on there?
Well, obviously, we went in looking to raise investment. It's also a great kind of platform for displaying the product and getting feedback. It's a program I've watched as a kid and always wanted to be on. So
I was trying to know how long it's been. It's been running for a fair number of years now, hasn't it?
It's over 10. I think it may have been the 14th or 15th series.
Gosh, so that's quite a run, really. I think it's just Peter Jones of the Dragons who are left from the original series now.
I think so.
And presenter Evan Davis, of course.
Yeah, I think Deborah's the next oldest.
Yes, although she's only been in for, I don't know, maybe she's been in for longer than I think on that. And where's it recorded? Where's it filmed?
It was filmed in Manchester.
And is it actually a warehouse or is that a studio set they put up there?
It's a studio set.
Oh, that's disappointing.
It's very well done.
So you went there, and well, tell the end of the story first. Actually, you didn't get any investment, but there was an offer which was put in.
Yeah, so we got two offers, one from Nick Jenkins and one from Deborah Meaden. Fortunately, the offers were higher than what we were asking for. We knew going into the den that we'd got some good commercial partnerships forming, and we didn't want to give away too much of our company early on. We knew we were going to have.
But you weren't asking for that. You weren't asking really for that much. Remind us as to how much equity you were looking for and what sort of percentage you were willing to give up.
So we were asking for £150,000 for 7.5%, and their offers were for 20%. We'd already got investors already into the company, and we've got really ambitious growth.
But I think the Dragons were concerned, weren't they, about the number of products that you'd sold so far, and I guess from their perspective, they're saying, well, so they've only sold so much, you know, projecting that forward, you know, where are we going to get our money back based on a sort of, I guess, roughly a million valuation, wouldn't it be, based on that sort of levels?
It was a 2 million valuation, and it was slightly unfair on us. So when it was filmed, we'd only been launched for a few months properly, and since then we've sold nearly 7 times as many products.
Right. But I guess you can only do it on what it is when it's recorded.
I know. So we knew we had these sales coming. We also know we had some good partnerships forming, so we knew our valuation was going to go up. So it's when do you take the money?
It's always a challenge. And without the Dragons, I guess, from what you're saying, with sales going reasonably well now, then it's not an issue, and presumably you get a boost from this.
Yeah, it's
not, not to mention all those repeats on Dave for the years to come.
Yeah, so we, as I said, I think it's six to seven times as many sales since the show before it even aired, and now it's aired. We've obviously had a big spike and lots more interest from kind of traditional retail as well. Mm. We've also launched all across Europe, translated in the app into 8 languages. That was actually one of the things we were asking for money for, was to do the translations, and we just went ahead and did that anyway, based on sales we'd made and funded.
Most complicated bit of the device? Is it actually the device itself, or is it really the difficulty of the app and these translations and making sure that the app can process the information? Because you get hundreds, thousands of apps are out there, and the best will in the world, they don't always work, do they?
Yeah, but the device is insanely clever, yet simple at the same time. We wanted it to be really easy for someone to use, and that's inherently a challenge. But if you think about all the different dog breeds, you've got Chihuahuas with tiny little legs, Great Danes with massive legs. How you actually interpret emotion across all the breeds is incredibly hard. We also learned...
Do you borrow friends' dogs and things to start off with, just to see how far they move? Because some dogs, you know, my mum's dog, for example, Molly. Hello, Molly, if you're listening. Her dog, you take her for a walk, whoosh, out the door. Within 2 minutes, she's decided she's going to dawdle and hang around. You know, do you sort of take into the sort of behavioural things that the dog might do, which causes all of that?
I mean, border collies seem extremely light-footed and agile. Pugs seem to kind of rock a little bit more in their motion. So, yes, there was years of kind of testing and developing the product to learn all about different breeds. Another really important thing was the battery life.
Mm.
If you look at a Fitbit, that lasts for a few weeks and then you have to recharge it. That's fine for a human wearable, but for a dog wearable, people just won't recharge it. So we worked really hard to get the power consumption down, such that you can leave the device on the collar all the time and you don't have to take it off. And also, not having a little slot to recharge it means you can make the product waterproof, which is great.
So what happens when it does die and you buy another one?
You can put a new battery in.
Okay.
It's like a coin cell watch battery.
Oh, right, okay.
So you just put a new one in after a year.
Do you have a dog yourself, a dog owner?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, it wouldn't be fair. I live in a flat in Cambridge, and it wouldn't be responsible to leave it on its own. I'm quite lucky. My girlfriend's got a gorgeous Labrador called Rhea, who's one of our main testers, and her previous dog, Lottie, was our founding hound.
As mentioned in company literature.
Yeah, so I have an honorary dog if it's not my own.
And the process of Dragon's Den, you said that it was filmed several months ago, and how much of your time the day does that take up, or did it take up?
So there was lots of pre-interviews on a telephone. They then did a mock filming to see how you would appear in front of the camera.
And did they do that with one of the actual dragons, or...?
No, the dragons know absolutely nothing about your business going in, which actually makes it harder, because the business like ours was a lot to get across in a short space of time. But the first time you go into the den, it's the first time the dragons have ever seen you, so it's quite exciting.
Right. As I said, so that's... are they intimidating?
Very intimidating. But I think they have to be. It's part of the show. They've done a lot in their careers,
And what happens afterwards? Do you all then go to have, you know, BBC orange juice and crisps with the dragons, or
unfortunately,
is it straight out again?
Unfortunately, it's not to the pub afterwards. It's straight out. Filming carries on. More people go in.
Right.
you're not allowed to make contact with the dragons as well until it airs. So.
Oh, really? That's quite interesting. That's, I guess, particularly important. So, very interesting. Well, look, thank you very much, Andrew, for coming in. I'm assuming that if anybody is interested in one of these devices, it's available. Is it at All Good Doggy Retailers?
Yep, All Good Doggy Retailers. Scampers in Cambridgeshire is probably the closest, and it's also available on our website.
Okay, well, look, Andrew, thank you very much for coming in and telling us about your experience with the dragons and the Pit Pat product as well.
Cheers, thank you for having me.
Thanks very much. It's a 5:43.